Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, April 30th, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 54, the first paragraph that begins with "We found two," and we'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are France N, who will be reading the 12 steps, Carol F will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Betsy H, Julie E.B., and Sherry K.B. The share ID for Thursday, April 29th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 16,857. That's 16857. And for this morning's Friday, April 30th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the share ID is 16,863. That's 16863. Our newcomer greeter for today is Lois P., and Robin P. will be making the announcements. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask France N. to read the 12 steps, please. Good morning, France.
Good morning, everyone. This is France, and I'm a recovered, grateful recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Lillian, Alabama. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service this month, and I wish you all a blessed day.
Thank you, France N. And Carol F., if you could read the 12 traditions for us, please.
Yes. Good morning, Kathleen and everyone on the line. This is Carol F. from Maryland. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
And thank you so much, Carol F. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 54, the first paragraph that begins with "We found two." And Betsy H., if you could get us started, please. Good morning, Betsy.
Good morning. Page 54. We found, too, that we had been worshipers. What a state of mental goose flesh that used to bring on. Had we not variously worshipped people, sentiment, things, money, and ourselves? And then with the better motive, had we not worshipfully beheld the sunset, the sea, or a flower? Who of us had not loved something or somebody? How much did these feelings, these loves, these worships have to do with pure reason? Little or nothing we saw at last. Were not these things the tissue out of which our lives were constructed? Did not these feelings, after all, determine the course of our existence? It was impossible to say we had no capacity for faith or love or worship. In one form or another, we had been living by faith and little else. And I'm Betsy H., recovered compulsive reader in California. This is a very interesting paragraph to me. Talks about, you know, I may not think I have faith, but actually I do have faith in something. And in my case, I seem to have an irrational faith in the food, because I would just go to it and I would overeat when anything happened in my life. I wanted to celebrate. I felt bored. I felt weird. I felt bad. I would go eat in every case. I've heard some people say that whatever you think about the most is kind of like what your higher power is. So I don't know if that's true, but it's an interesting thought to think about. In my case, my higher power, I was treating food like my higher power. I was also treating my weight like the higher power. Like if I could only get to the perfect weight, everything would be perfect. And underneath that, I was thinking about myself so much of the time. So I was kind of like treating myself as a higher power, in a way, or what other people, sometimes I've made what other people think about me is a higher power. So, or money, they mentioned money here, you know, if I only had enough money, everything would be great. So it's very interesting because none of those things that I just mentioned have had for me enough power to solve my overeating problem. I could, you know, think about those things try to solve the problems that I wasn't able to stop overeating. I needed to find a higher power. And that's exactly what this book and the 12 steps do for us. They give us a step-by-step way of clearing out the blockages between me and a power that is strong enough to solve my overeating problem. And actually, that same higher power that helps me with my food problem will help me with all my problems. So I found this paragraph really interesting, and I think with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much for getting us started, Betsy H. So we're on page 54, the first paragraph. We found two, and I will take some names, but just a reminder, although we do value your experience, we ask you to limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Christina J.
Kristen R.
Christina J. And Kristen R, was it?
Yes.
Okay.
Laura L.
Laura L.
Bruce E.
Bruce E.
Deanna P.
Deanna P.
Sarah N.
Okay. Was it Sarah N?
Yes.
Okay, great. All right, let's stop there. That's a great lineup. So I have Christina J, Kristen R, Laura L, Bruce E, Deanna P, and Sarah N. So go ahead, please, Christina J.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your service, moderator. And I had quite a time reflecting on this morning. There's quite a bit to reflect on when you think about your own life. And I chased validation from the time I was a small infant to really to my present moment, although it's gotten a lot better. I mean, 100% better. You know, I heard a story once of two gurus in India. And this guy was walking, and he saw one, and he had everybody in the audience meditating, and, you know, their thumbs touching their forefingers, and they were just in bliss, meditating and quiet. And he kept walking, and he found another guru sitting there, and all the people in front of him were cavorting with cigarettes and drinking and smoking pot and orgying and just completely lost in desire systems of the body. And of this world we're in. A lot of desire systems pull us left, right, and forward and backward. And this guy was totally flabbergasted. He said, "What are you doing?" Went up to the guru, and the guru said, "These people have to get over their attractions. They have to realize that there's nothing there, and that it will destroy them in the end." And so I'm that way with food. You know, food was destroying me. My validation, chasing after validation as a god in my life, was destroying me. It completely, pretty much stripped me of almost everything I had. Not everything, but almost. And I can tell you that if you're on the line this morning, it's a gift from God to be here, to be chasing something bigger than yourself, to be looking for that thing that's going to do it for you. Because all that cavorting, all that chasing, all the validation in the world from our fellow man, all the clothes in the world to get validation of how we look, all the diets, whatever you're chasing is not going to do it for you in the end. That's what I found. And the only thing that does it for me is that quiet time in the morning with God when I bring all of that stuff to Him. Maybe I got involved in chasing it, you know, in the current day, and I have to surrender it to Him and realize that that's not where it is. It will only lead to death. My poor sister never got to find that out. She chased the effect of the medications, of the drugs, whatever, till she died. So if you're here, it's a blessing. God's grace came down upon you and is bringing you to the fact that food's not doing it for you, and it's only destroying you. And I found that out with validation a couple years ago, you know, when I stood out on the porch, and I've told this story. I just started crying because I couldn't chase my dream anymore. I think I would have chased the thing, the validation, till I died had God not said, "I'm going to stop this girl from ruining her life any further by thinking she needs validation from this person, that person, and the other person. I'm going to show her that the only validation she needs is my love and my grace upon her. And that began my journey to full neutrality around the food, and now every day surrendering to a power greater than myself that will give me that validation. Anyway, I love you guys, and thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Christina J. in Washington. And Kristen R., you are up, followed by Laura L. Go ahead, Kristen.
Good morning. My name is Kristen R. I live in Virginia, and I'm a compulsive eater. Thank you for your service today and to everybody who makes this meeting possible, and welcome to all the newcomers on the line. This paragraph really speaks to me this morning. I've been struggling with my connection with my higher power ever since I came back from relapse. I keep feeling like I should be having a white light experience, and I'm not getting that. But I am chasing other kinds of higher powers. And I heard someone share in the 7 a.m. meeting this morning about how she worshiped an idealized version of herself. And that's what I've been worshiping. I've been worshiping, a number on the scale that I want to get to. I've been worshiping a body image that I don't have right now, that I just dream about. And those things are blocking me from my higher power. No one else but a compulsive overeater might be able to understand how you could be blocked from God by a number on the scale. But it's just true. My doctor has asked me to weigh myself once a month, and it's hard. It's really hard. Because I keep wanting that number to go in a certain direction, and I keep wanting that number to be something other than it is, and I keep having faith in that number. I'm a believer in that number, and it's blocking me from my higher power. And until I shared this morning, until I read this paragraph, I hadn't really seen or understood that, that I'm getting caught up in what I think the world wants me to look like. Rather than accepting what is and being grateful to my higher power that I'm in a healthy body today, a body that functions and helps me, live my life all throughout the day. So I just pray this morning for a greater sense of gratitude and generosity to get out of this block, to come to some sort of peace around my weight. And the only way I can do that is by keep returning to my higher power over and over and over again. I have to keep going back over and over and over again. Even when I don't feel my higher power, I have to keep trying to reach out over and over again. Even just going through the motions is enough. So I'm grateful for this meeting and I'm grateful for everyone on the line. Thank you so much. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Kristen R. in Virginia. And Laura L., you are up, followed, by Bruce E. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning. I'm Laura L. In Missouri, Kansas City, and I'm a compulsive overeater. Very grateful to be here. Very grateful for this particular passage. It talks about living by faith. On all sorts of things except for God. And I've definitely done that and been there. And the food was, of course, front and center because the food was supposed to protect me and take care of me. It was supposed to entertain me. It was supposed to bring me joy. It was supposed to give me all the good feels. It was supposed to comfort me. It was supposed to do all of that. Realizing, the terminology that comes to mind, realizing I've had a really kind of idolatrous relationship with food, and that's kind of just the fact of it. Now, I don't think that makes me a bad person per se. I don't think it does. When people, like in the traditional religious path, they talk about idolatry as something terrible and blah, blah, blah. Well, I think what that actually meant is if you seek God where God is not, you're going to crash and burn. it wasn't about being a bad person. It was about, hey, if you do this, it's going to make you miserable. And then, of course, sometimes in traditional religious paths, the truth can be a little bit, I've found it to be a little bit buried under layers, but it's in there anyhow. But what I want to say is that I feel like I've taken enough knocks, and I've found food to be a really false friend. It's more of a foe, to be sure, that will destroy me if I rely on it. And so in releasing it, releasing that misplaced faith and making room for my higher power, which is a true power, to come in, I am coming into a way of living where there's kind of this stillness or this peace underneath the surface. I'm not having some big experience, and I always wanted the big, you know, the flash of light and the poof of smoke and, you know, the big mountaintop experience, of course. And I chase that, even independent of the food. I chase that on the spiritual path. Come to find out, you know, it may be a lot more subtle, but what would it be like if I had, woo, poof, big experience? I mean, yeah, that'd be nice, but what if I had that and then just went back to normal life, as opposed to having an awareness every day of that quiet, extremely strong, all-powerful presence that is my higher power. And in my case, my higher power feels feminine. So that's how my higher power presents to me. Because that's what's effective. And I know higher power presents to people in so many different ways. And I just feel grateful that I'm slowly but surely opening to a way of living where I place my faith in that higher power, and I'm truly no longer in charge. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Laura L. in Missouri. And good morning, Brucey. You are up, followed by Deanna P.
Well, good morning. It's Bruce E. I'm recovered in Florida, and great to be here, and everybody be here. And thanks for those that are serving today. We agnostics, well, this chapter is one of my favorite chapters and of the big book, and I love the big book now. Had we not variously worshiped people, money, I saw that money and that stuck out, yeah, because I've been there. And then I saw, and ourselves. Well, yeah, I mean, I worship myself till that didn't work anymore. And then I started really looking at myself and said, wait a minute, I can't worship myself, I'm a failure, you know. And money, to worship money, you got to have money. Although for 20 years, I had no money. I was basically at the bottom, bankrupt a number of times, lost businesses, stayed in homeless shelters, really hit some bottoms. No money to worship. I think I still worship the thought that someday I'll make it. You know, that's myself and money. Someday I'll have it. And I finally got a good job and started doing well. And then, oh, yeah, I started worshiping money, you know. And so I tried worshiping everything except God for a long time, until I found out that those things that I was worshiping didn't work. And then, like it says in the big book here, the God idea did. Other things didn't work, but the God idea did. And it says down below in that paragraph, did not these feelings after all determine the course of our existence? Well, yeah, that's the way I was living, that way of worshiping things other than God. And in one form or another, we had been living by faith and a little else. So I had faith in all those other things until I found out those other things didn't work and the God idea did. And I worship food. I mean, absolutely. I mean, how many years did I worship food? But I think during a time when I was worshiping food, I was also worshiping money. And money took a priority over food, actually, even though I was a food addict all along. The money took the priority. So I worshiped that, and I kept you know, my food was my plan B, money was plan A, food plan B, myself was probably plan 1A, and none of that stuff worked. But I had to try worshiping those things in order to finally come to the point where I said, well, I tried those, and that didn't work. Now maybe this God thing will work, and it does. You know, God does work. And
time, please.
So I'm trying to put them above me. Thank you, and I pass.
And thank you so much, Bruce E. in Florida. Deanna P., you are up, followed by Sarah N. Good morning, Deanna.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. Good morning, everyone. My name is Deanna P., and I'm gratefully recovered in Wilmington, Delaware, one day at a time. Thank you so much thank you, God, for this paragraph. Thank you, God, for Bill W., who wrote this paragraph. And I'm going to take on the paragraph a little bit in a different direction. I draw so much hope from this paragraph because it teaches me that I'm so much more than my body and my desires, misplaced desires. I have the potential for so much more than that. And it's affirming to me that I am a spiritual being, that I have the capacity in my heart for greater things beyond food and other false worships. And I love the Bill's language here about love itself, and that the feelings that we have are not all bad feelings. And we have this capacity for loving people. And that has very little to do with our reason. And that's his point, right? We have the capacity for faith, love, worship. And when I'm not in that space, I'm usually, there is the exaltation of self. And every day through the steps, through step 10, through the fellowship, I love that this is a we fellowship, and I'm a me, and I'm a part of the we, and I love that. Just being a part of something greater than myself to remind me that, okay, Deanna, you're exalting yourself here. How can you get your ego right-sized again? Well, it's when I turn my face to God. God, please help me not to edge you out. And it's a work in progress, right? We all are, and we're all on a journey. And it's a beautiful journey. And I just really, really appreciate you all. And guys, have a great day.
Thank you, Deanna P. in Delaware. And Sarah N., before I have you share, I just want to remind everyone we're on page 54, the first paragraph. We found two. And I'll be taking some more names for shares after Sarah. So go ahead, please, Sarah N.
Thank you. Good morning. May I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Great. Thanks. Hi, good morning. My name is Sarah N. I'm a grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater in San Jose, California. And this paragraph really hit me because I had just walked outside to take my dog out for her morning routine. And as I stepped out, I'm hearing the words about the sunset and the flower and the sea, and it's just such a beautiful morning. And so there I'm just stepping out into the fresh morning air and just really enjoying it. And what it reminded me of is, you know, when I was worshiping at the foot of the food, what would happen is I'd be with the food inside, you know, the curtains closed, the TV on, and everything else was I couldn't participate in anything else that I loved. And this just reminded me, you know, that if you ask me what I love, I say, I love nature. I love being outside. I love this. But when I was, again, down in the food, that all just went away. Everything was eclipsed, family, friends, you know, work, all of that. There was nothing else. And so as I was really pondering on this paragraph, what came to me was, first of all, in this book, we're promised that we can be happy, joyous, and free. So, like, why are we here? What's the goal? Why are we choosing to put down the food? Because for me, I want to be happy, joyous, and free. And I've learned through this program that to do that, I need to have something to replace that food. And I'm grateful, as I've been recovering, to, you know, reignite that love and that faith in nature. And it's a journey of going, you know, from the food to nature to an understanding of a God beyond my understanding, not even just a God of my understanding. I don't understand God. I never will. But I know that that faith works, and, you know, that food was my solution, that other people were my solution, that lots of other things were my solution. But ultimately, the one that makes me most happy, joyous, and free is this power greater than myself that I can now put my faith in. And I just love how this paragraph illustrates that it's the tissue out of what we are constructed is faith, and that we absolutely have the capacity for faith, love, and worship. It, you know, this paragraph very clearly shows us how we've had faith and worship in so many other things. And so if you're new, please just realize that, you know, we absolutely have faith, and we can have faith in anything. It's just a matter of shifting it to that which serves us best and which desires our greatest good. And with that, I pass. Thank you for listening.
And thank you, Sarah N. in California. Okay, we're on page 54, the first paragraph. We found two. And if you have not shared in the last 3 days, I would love to take your name and hear what you have to say on this paragraph.
Laura R.
Larry G.
Larry G.
Jordan L.
Irene B.
Julie E. B.
Irene.
Okay, I got Jordan, Irene. There was one more name in there.
Chris A.
Julie.
Oh, Julie. Was that Julie E.B.? It was Julie E.B. And who came in after Julie?
Chris A.
Okay, let's stop right there for now. I think that's going to be good. So I have Laura R., Larry G., Jordan L., Irene B., Julie E.B., and Chris A. So go ahead, please, Laura R. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Laura R., grateful, recovered, compulsive eater in Colorado. And, oh, boy, just listening to everyone's shares, and I was listening this morning, too, in this paragraph, I feel gratitude and I feel sadness. Gratitude for where I'm at today, sadness for where I was majority of my life. I'm just so grateful. I never would think that I would be excited to be a member of a 12-step program or a couple or kind of I'm a junkie. I love them because it's brought me to God. You know, all my life I was so... I was just thinking today, like, I just didn't know how to live, you know, I was looking at the world and everyone's grabbing on to, like, I want to be number one. I want to, you know, if you can achieve, if you can get this award, if you can, you know, become CEO, if you can become an astronaut, whatever, like, it's all about me. And so I didn't know that I was supposed to, like, there was a better life to grab onto God. You know, so all I did was just grab onto anything on the outside, you know, and not ever stop and get quiet and go within. And it's just so sad, you know. And so, unfortunately for me, I have a very addictive personality, and I went and grabbed onto everything, men, you know, drugs, alcohol, food, caffeine, like cigarettes. I mean, you name it, I grabbed. And because it was all, and then I just fed my ego and more desire to become more number one. I just didn't know that there was another way. And thank God I got stopped by a self-imposed crisis. You know, thank God I got pounded down. You know, I'm so grateful, even though it was so painful, you know, and it's been such a long journey of, you know, trying to let go of everything that was blocking me from higher power. And it's so beautiful. Like I was wrestling with myself yesterday and God, between my will and God's will. And I didn't know, you know, I was praying and I was writing and like, God, what's your will? And I didn't want to show up. That's part of my MO. I don't want to show up. You know, I just don't want to show up to life. And I did it. You know, I made a decision to go with against what I normally would do, which is not show up because I'm tired in parentheses. And I showed up yesterday to life and it was hard and it wasn't easy. And, but I, there was a lot of blessings and there wasn't a lot of, it just, I showed up even though I didn't want to. And that's what I'm trying to do today, because I know that if I choose my will and I choose worship of my mind and things on the outside, I'm toast. I'm toast. It's just not about food anymore. It's about, I have got to go God's way. Because if I don't, it's painful. And I don't want to live in that anymore. So thanks, guys. Like, I'm showing up in school today. I heard that, I think, on this meeting or the last meeting. Like, I'm just a little kid in school trying to learn. And I feel like for the first time, I'm learning something and I'm moving forward in life. And thank you all. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Laura R. in Colorado. And Larry G. in California. You are up, followed by Jordan L. Go ahead, Larry.
This is Larry G. from California. I love everybody on this call. Thank you, Kathleen. God, Bill is like a spiritual philosopher. You know, if we didn't know better, you would think he was, smoking a joint and long hair and waxing poetically, because and we know what he's not. We know that he is, his brain has been cleared of alcohol and he's had a profound spiritual experience, and I'm so grateful for the movement that he created and this big book we're studying today. I didn't worship food. I didn't worship clothing or money or power, prestige. What I worshiped was myself. You know, I was the solution. I have a good mind, a good intellect. I have good imagination. I could figure this out. I spent 26 years over years and on, I was trying to figure out how I could have a lean body and to be able to eat without abandon, eat whatever I wanted to eat. And I tried, like all of us, we could write volumes, discourses on all the ways that we manage our food or try to manage our food, and it just ended up failing to the point where I did not want to live. I feel like I'm in spiritual kindergarten all over again. I've been at this for going on 40 years, it'll be 40 years in August since I started the 12-step journey, and I feel like I'm in spiritual kindergarten. And what I know today is I stand on a knife's edge every day. I mean, this is this disease, just because I'm recovered today from compulsive eating and alcoholic foods, man, does not mean that I'm safe, you know, that I got this thing. In days that I try to take my self-will back, I pay the price, you know, emotionally, psychologically. And by the grace of God, I haven't gone back into the food. And I know the food is not, it's just a symptom, right? So today I'm writing my 10th step, and I wrote a 10th step of gratitude, and I wrote about God. I'm so thankful for this experience that got me to where I am today, that finally my eyes are open and my ears are open. I'm willing. I'm meeting with my sponsor today, and we're going to be talking about some things that I may have a hard time listening to. But I'm going to listen, and I'm going to say yes, because I don't want to go back to that shithole I was, man, back last May. Anyway, whatever it takes, and those of you who are on this call who are in the food or suffering from this addiction, just stay with us, man. Come with us and just get involved. Get off the sidelines. Say yes. What do you got to lose? Man, I had nothing to lose in May, absolutely nothing. And I've been saying yes, and it's just been the most wonderful year of my life. I have to admit, this has been one of the most wonderful years of my life, and I thank all of you for that, and I pass.
Thank you, Larry G. in California. And Jordan L., you're up, followed by Irene B. Go ahead, Jordan.
Good morning. Thank you, Kathleen, for chairing for us this morning, or moderating. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado. And very grateful to be on a meeting and abstinent with you all this morning. So it was impossible to say we had no capacity for faith. I would have said that. I did say that. I thought faith was pretty stupid, actually. I thought if you had faith, you were ignorant, you were weak, like you couldn't figure it out, you know, and so you needed like a crutch, something to lean on to like hold you up, you know. And so I remember reading this paragraph, actually, and it wasn't the first time I had read it, but it was the first time that I had seen the words, and I was listening. I was listening the way that only the dying can listen. When I came back in here in 2017, and I heard that, like I heard that, whether I liked it or not, I had a capacity for faith. Like it's part of being human. We do this naturally. We like naturally go towards worshiping something, you know, whatever it is. But like in our society, it tends to be like productivity and money and stuff like that in like American or Western culture, whatever, however you want to state that. But we do, like we do this naturally. And so whether we like it or not, we have a capacity for faith or love or worship. And I guess like when I opened up to that idea that like this is within me too, I started to see that what it was that I was worshiping was control. It was always about like planning ahead and having goals and measuring myself against those goals, measuring the success or the failure versus as a like with those goals, you know. And that's what I did. Like I worshipped control. And so it was very clear to me that in order to get and stay abstinent, I was going to have to stop worshiping control. Because that's compulsive overeating in a nutshell. It is control, you know?
Time, please.
And what's happened over the last couple of years is that I've really softened. My heart especially has really softened. And so even I have the capacity for that. Thank you for letting me share. That's all I got.
Thank you, Jordan L. in Colorado. Irene B., you're up, followed by Julie E.B. Go ahead, Irene.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. So grateful to be here. I'm going to say that faith is a choice. For me, it was a decision, an intellectual decision I made to believe, because what was the alternative? If I didn't believe, I was doomed. And it's really difficult to change what I really believe deep inside of me. And my beliefs lead me to what I worship. I didn't worship food, but I certainly cherished it because of what it did for me. I couldn't see what it did to me. And I've come to realize that that I worship my husband, who has been leading a double life, and I still worship him. What does that say about me? It just says that my faith is really misguided and that I have to do some work to believe the right things. And I know what the right things are. I know that for me, the only solution for serenity, peace of mind, and joy is to be in connection with my higher power. That's where I can feel the love that I so desperately need. So what I see now is that I need to worship my God so that I will always have the love, validation, and approval that I need, because I cannot get that through human means. There is nothing on this earth that's going to give me true joy, true happiness, true sense of connection. It's all about, for me, a sense of connection, intimacy, one heart, one soul reaching out to the other. And it's a decision that I make. Why do I worship? But I can't do it. I've been aware of this for quite some time. And I'm obviously not praying hard enough that God is not enough for me. That is insane. He is enough. He totally is enough. As a matter of fact, he's the only one. And this program is a program that teaches me how to connect with my higher power. And this daily practice is beautiful. Was that my time?
Yes.
Okay, thank you so much. I'll pass. Bye-bye.
And thank you, Irene B. in Louisiana. Julie E.B., go ahead, please. And Chris, I'm not sure we're going to have time for you, so... go ahead, please, Julie E.B.
Hey, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs. You know, one of the ways I've done all this worship is to make gods out of all sorts of things in my life, all sorts of external things, people, places, things, everything else. And so I just ask that I had a chance, I'm glad, to stop and think about what's at the center of life and what is not. And so I'm just really grateful today for the opportunity to be of service. And I'm going to let the next person share. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. in Colorado. Okay, Chris A., we have some time for you. If you'd like to go ahead, please.
Hi, this is Chris A. from Long Beach, California, and wow, so grateful to be here this morning. You know, from a very early age, I just had this desire to be in relationship with God and to just live out his will for me. And in a lot of ways, I was in that place, but for decades, I just could not allow God to be enough when it came to food. And it was a source of shame. It was a place that I felt just utter hopelessness, because I kept thinking, how can I thrive in my relationship with him when I continually go to food for so many needs that he wanted to be enough for? And, you know, it says, have we not worshiped people, sentiment, things, money, ourselves? And it was painful just even because I knew that I was worshiping, you know, my reflection in the mirror, if it was good, or I was hating myself if it wasn't. I was worshiping what people thought of me and my own self-reliance. And I just have to say quickly, 4 months ago when I came in to OA and was introduced to walking through the steps in the big book with a sponsor, that is what finally brought me to this place of recognizing how, not recognizing, being willing and walking through the steps and working through the steps to see how to let God be enough. And I'm so grateful. I have a thing, you know, every day I do, and it's called God sightings. And I just look throughout the day for those sightings. And sometimes the God sighting will be a truth about myself that I can fully accept now, you know, or it can be something in the beauty of creation, whatever it is. But I'm so grateful that walking through these steps and now working them daily has brought me to a place where I feel like my internal life, external life all match. And I'm just grateful to hear all of your recovery this morning. Thank you.
And thank you, Chris A. in California. And thank you, everyone, for your shares this morning. We are going to now have Julie E.B., if you would please read A Vision for You on page 164.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. You will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of a happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.